Acts chapter 14 in your Bibles, verse 1 through 7. I'll read for you first for the reading of God's Word in the text this morning. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we look into your word. I ask that you'll guide and direct what I say and help me to be a blessing and help to your people. Many folks have needs today. It's good to see Paula and Ida here, and we know Ruth is home resting. See Candace back, and Linda able to be here, and folks that have had surgeries and recuperated and are back with us. We pray for those that are facing those things, and we pray for those that have needs financially. We pray for those that have needs in their family and their home, their marriages. We lift these things up to you, O God. We ask you to do what we cannot. And we ask that you'll guide us and give us wisdom to do the things that we can. And we ask you to meet the needs of the hour here. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul and Barnabas are the first missionaries, have gone out on the missionary journey. They took John Mark with them, and he has returned. Seems to be under some kind of discouragement. They've seen a limited success in the synagogue of the Jews and with the Gentile proselytes. These are non-Jewish people who come to the synagogue to try to learn about the God of heaven that the Jewish people worship. But they are not allowed to sit in the same room with the Jewish people. They are divided by a wall of partition. Paul spoke in Ephesians how the middle wall is torn down, that there is no division in God's eyes between male or female or Jew or Gentile. If we are believers in Christ, we're one in Jesus Christ. The emphasis of these being able to hear the gospel and some believing at Antioch of Pisidia, this is Asia Minor, the country of Turkey today. And Paul lives not too far from here, and this region that they're ministering in is south of Galatia. And they are Tarsus, where Paul is from, is on the calendar as you look at it, down in the right-hand corner here, away from where they are. But they're heading in that direction as they go into these other cities and being pushed by persecution to go from city to city to city. But as they go, they're preaching the gospel everywhere that they go. The Jews have caused the missionaries to be expelled from city after city. And it brings salvation to those who believe in those places, but they're not able to stay and disciple these people and fellowship with these people. They're forced to leave in a pretty rapid pace. The missionary team in chapter 14 goes to Iconium. It's the region of Lycaonia. And the trade route there leads into Lystra and Derbe, and then either to the coast or to Tarsus, where Paul was from. It's nice to be home at Christmas. Nice to be with family. Nice to be with your loved ones. And whether you have your whole extended family or just a portion of your family, it is a blessing to be with them at this season of the year as we celebrate the Lord. And chapter 14, verse 7 tells us they preached the gospel when they went to these places. Preaching the gospel is something that we all need to do. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a called minister. Well, there are a lot of different words for preach, to speak, to teach, to share the gospel. There are a lot of ways to do that. But we get a little confused about the message sometimes. We need to tell the whole story of the gospel. If you keep your bookmark here and turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul makes a biblical definition of what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he begins a long list of all those who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who saw Him literally resurrected from the dead. And it is from these eyewitnesses that the message spread from one to another. Forgive me, it's humid today. And I'm fat and I sweat. And it's warmer up here on this platform than it is where you're sitting. So if they get the air turned down cool enough to cool me, it's going to be too cold on some of you. So I'll adjust with my coat if I can. Part of my problem is my glasses keep fogging up and I can't see what I'm doing. They preached the gospel. They evangelized. To evangelize means to give the gospel. Now, any way you get people to come to church, or you get them to look in the Bible, or you get them to read the Scriptures is good. It's good to give out gospel tracts. It is good to invite people to church. It is good to pass out flyers about special days and invite new residents and things like that. But that's not really evangelism unless you give the people the gospel message. And the gospel message is the whole story about Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. And what the Bible teaches about His sacrifice for our sins, because we were all sinners and we had all the need to be saved and be forgiven of our sins, and Christ died for all of us. And so we need to share the whole message. It's always good to do all those things that we can to get people under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. A preacher is a Greek word, kerux. It means to herald the gospel message. But to speak in any way, sharing the message, there's 13 different Greek words that are translated to speak. And Paul was often the chief speaker of the missionary team. And so he was described as a particular Greek word that refers to the chief speaker. Our English word apologetics means to make a defense. And that comes from the Greek word to speak and make a defense of something. There's the word blasphemia, where we get our English word to blaspheme. And that's evil speaking. And then there's the word prosphonia. That means to communicate with others. We get, our telephones comes from that Greek word. It means to call or to address. Sololeo, to speak together, to commune with one another. Katalaleo means to speak against something. So if you can speak and you can communicate and talk, you can give the gospel to people. You can tell people. You can share. You can speak. You can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can tell others about the glorious message, and you can teach those who do not know about the message of Jesus Christ. We need to always be mindful to give out the gospel in every opportunity that we can, whether it is to evangelize, to teach, to tell, to proclaim, or to preach. We give out the gospel of Christ. It's the message that has the power of God to salvation. You and I are just the messengers. We're the mailmen delivering God's message. And the message is Jesus died for you and you can be saved through faith in Him. This Christmas, we need to tell the whole story. These early missionaries were telling the whole story. Secondly, because of a miracle of healing, the people tried to worship them. Look at verse number 8 back in Acts chapter 14. Scripture says, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly behold him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." If you don't have a Bible in your lap looking at that verse, gods is in small g. It's referring to the mythology, the gods of the heavens that the Greeks had worshipped in myth. And we'll see that's exactly who these are they're referring to. They call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, Mercury in other words, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." So they got a problem. God has miraculously healed a man who was lame, and so the people caught up in pagan worships find out about this miraculous healing, and they think it is the myth of their gods that they worship has now come among them in human form. This particular area followed mythology that was the same as the Greeks. They call them the gods that have come down among us. And Barnabas, they call the chief person, the leader, the father. The name that they call him is Jupiter, which is Zeus in Greek mythology, the father of the gods. You hear the story of Hercules. When I was a kid, I'd watch those Saturday morning TV shows about Hercules. I wanted to be a strong man, you know. And Hercules, and they had all these little songs about him, and he was a champion, and he would free the slaves and all that kind of stuff. He had all kind of power, you know. He could chain him, and he could pull the columns down like Samson in the Bible. Hercules, he was one of the gods. It was among men. He wasn't a mortal. And that mythology has followed even unto today, that people still have those myths of the gods that come from the Greek culture and came through Lyconia and the people here. Paul was a messenger, and that's what Mercury was. And so they called him, as being the speaker, the messenger who brought the message, and they called him Mercurius or Mercury with the Greeks. Poseidon was the ruler of the sea. Men have always wanted to worship something. And when people are ignorant of truth, they can worship the wrong thing. There is a true God in heaven who made all the heavens and the earth. And it is He that we are to worship. And He gave His Son to die for us that we might have everlasting life. Now they had priests who worshiped these gods and who made sacrifice to these gods. And so because they thought Paul and Barnabas were of these gods, they were going to kill an oxen. They're going to make a sacrifice to them. They're going to bow down and worship them as gods. And man, that scared these guys out of their wits. They tore their garments open and ran them. Stop, stop, don't do this. What in the world are you doing? We are mortals. We are men just like you. We have the same desires, the same passions that you have. We sometimes elevate the biblical characters to a godlike status. They were just men. They were just women. But many of them had the power of God because they dedicated themselves to walk with God. We think about the Old Testament prophet Elijah, and the book of James tells us he was a man subject to like passions just like you and me. But he prayed it wouldn't rain, and God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed it would rain, and the rains came as a result of his prayer. But he was a man. Paul was a man. Barnabas was a man. And they had a serious problem here now, because when they stopped these people from worshiping them, this gave the Jews that were opposed to them an opportunity to use this to turn these people who were ready to bow down and worship them, now to take them out of the city and stone them to death. We celebrate Christ's birth this coming Wednesday. We know that Jesus was not necessarily born on December 25th. It is the day set aside, estimated, believed to be. But there's nothing in the Bible that tells us it was December the 25th, but that's the day we set aside. That day is not what's holy. We are what are to be holy. The Spirit of God lives in us. He doesn't live in a day. And God wants us to worship Him and not worship a day, instead of drawing attention away from the one who we should worship. There are many myths that have crept in, just like the myths of the gods in that day and time that have crept into our celebrations of Christ's birth. Some of them have become harmless traditions, and others have led people away from the focus on the Lord. Most of them are adaptions from the past. The whole celebration of the Christmas celebrations with the greenery and the lights and all of that different stuff kind of was adapted from the pagan feast of Saturnalia from the Rome, where they had that December celebration that was pagan, and they just kind of adapted it into the church and made it a Christian celebration about the birth of Christ. The Druids worshipped evergreens and mistletoe and holly and ivy and trees of evergreen. And today we have Christmas trees in our houses to celebrate the birth of Christ, and we have to have a place to put the presents under, you know. So we've made traditions out of those things that have just continued down through the years. Now, we don't bow down and worship a tree, but the Druids did, and that's been carried over into Christianity, and we've made it Christian. It was believed that Martin Luther, who was one of the leaders of the Reformation, put candles on the tree at Christmas time and therefore lighted the first trees, and it goes back to a credit to him as the first one where there's a writing that maybe he did that. And it's become a tradition for us. Isaiah 60:13, God speaks of the trees that are to decorate His house. And so it's not wrong to have a Christmas tree, but we cannot worship the tree and worship the celebration and worship the greenery and the lights and all that sort of thing. And those things shouldn't come before the Lord, and they shouldn't take our attention away from what this day is all about, and that's celebrating Christ. The term Christmas itself. Early Christians quite often didn't have anything to do with that celebration because Christmas comes from the Catholic Church. It's Christ plus Mass. And we're not saying a Mass to you today. We're preaching the Bible, the Word of God. And nativity scenes use figurines. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If I was going to have one, my wife, if we had room in our house to have a big table and set up a nativity scene or put one out in our yard or something like that, I wouldn't think a thing in the world wrong with putting the wise men and all that. But the Bible doesn't say the wise men were at the manger. The wise men came to the house where the young child was. The shepherds came to the manger scene. But you see, you can sell more figurines if you put them all together. So we kind of have taken some traditions in that really aren't exactly accurate according to the Bible. And sadly, there are those in religion that worship statues today and bow down to them and pray to them. Those statues have no power at all. It's God who has the power to forgive us of our sins. When Christ died, the veil of the temple was torn in two, opening the way of access for all men to God through Jesus Christ. And we don't have to pray to the saints, and we don't have to pray to figurines, and we don't bow down to statues and all that sort of thing. And of course, Santa Claus, for the children especially, has taken a lot of the attention away from Christ at Christmas. We have to remind the children to worship Christ. Santa Claus, I believe, goes back to the 4th century bishop by the name of Nicholas, who was willing to give gold to young girls as a dowry so they could wed and would not turn into prostitution. In a poor country, any of you that have served outside the United States in the military know that there are prostitutes all around the American military bases. Anywhere there is wealth, anywhere there is accumulation, and it's poor countries, they look at that as a job, as a way of life, as a way to earn money. And this bishop would give these young girls money so they could pay a dowry to get married and not turn into prostitution. Every group has its own twist to that. The Dutch call him Sinterklaas, and he's December 5th. It's where he puts the candy in the wood shoes of the children who leave them out in the window. In America, I can still remember when Christmas wasn't nearly the merchant's holiday that it is today. Among poor families, Christmas used to get one gift maybe, you know, and it was usually a pair of shoes or a pair of pants. Maybe an outfit to wear or something of that nature. Maybe if you lived out in the country and your family had cows and horses and things like that, you might get a horse or you might get a cow or you might get some gift like that to raise for your own. Quite often there was some handmade thing that was personal.
And always fruits and nuts back in those days, you know, was given because kids didn't get those things every day. They didn't get candy every day and sweets every day. And so, boy, that was a special thing to get a little bag of fruit and nuts and candy and to get a gift and to celebrate. Clement Moore wrote, "'Twas the night before Christmas in 1822 and propagated Santa Claus an awful lot in the United States. But it was really not until after the 50s that people began to have the wealth to give a lot of gift to their children and to spend lots of money. Coca-Cola has the oldest, most popular picture of Santa that they used as an advertisement. Y'all knew Santa drinks Coke instead of Pepsi, right? I mean, they got the trademark, you know. They got that old picture of the fat guy with the chubby cherry cheeks, you know, and the Santa suit on. And it was an amazing picture that's lasted for years and years and years. Gift giving. The wise men brought gifts, laid them before the Savior. They didn't give them to each other, they gave them to the Lord. It's His birthday we celebrate. Now my sister is, I guess, unlucky. She was born on Christmas Day. So, you know, she doesn't get a birthday party, she gets Christmas celebration. Don't get both, you know. The rest of you get your birthday parties and then you get your Christmas celebration separate. Well, hers is on the same day. She's like me, she's gotten more than she deserves, you know. But a lot of times she doesn't get the two things. Lights and decorations and feasts and traditions. And nothing wrong with how you build a family tradition around these kind of things as long as they don't invoke worship and as long as they don't prohibit worship of Christ and violate Scripture in any way. The too many today, there's no celebration at all. It's just a holiday rather than a holy day. It's for football and party and drunkenness and office parties where they bring out the booze and men and women who work together start dancing together and flirting together and things of that nature at office parties from time to time. There can be a great danger in that. All of that done as a holiday when we should be celebrating Jesus Christ and spreading the message of the gospel. You know that the ACLU has done everything in its power to stamp out Christianity and to stamp out the celebration of Christ. Christmas carols used to be sung in all the public schools, and still some do play them with the bands today. But they are often forced to stop if they go too far in their celebration of Christ. Manger scenes sometimes are being taken down. Because the ACLU, if you don't get one for everybody, you know, you got to have one for Kwanzaa and one for Hanukkah and one, you got to have about something for the Muslims, you know, you got to have something, everything up there, or else you're not being fair and equal to all religions. And so on government property, you got to take it down. And most time they don't want to go through all that trouble, so they just don't put one up at all. And it's a different day in that sense than it was when we were children and Christ was recognized a lot more than He is today by the world around us. Thirdly, why is it vitally important we keep proper worship in Christ? These were having a problem with false worship, and there's still false worship today. 2,000 years ago, night had fallen over Jerusalem when the glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds. Night had fallen on Jerusalem in other ways. Bethlehem, all of Israel, darkness was there because they had turned religion into something. Instead of it being a teacher to point men to Christ, they were showing that the religion itself, the law, could save them and keep them and that they could fulfill all their needs through that. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin had turned God's commands into something that they neglected to worship Christ because they didn't want to give up the control over the people. Jesus said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." And night has come on many countries today where the gospel has been rejected. Darkness would come upon these Jewish people in their synagogues who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and rejected the message that the missionaries brought. Darkness of ignorance, darkness of rejection, darkness of false religion. The Bible says of unsaved men that they love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. You just think about it. Light is a deterrent to crime. That's why we got all these lights out here at night that shine light up the property. That's a deterrent to criminals. We don't want them stealing the gas out of the buses or the diesel fuel. If they steal the diesel fuel out of that Ford bus and put it in a car, shame on them, you know. Or if they like the fellow that was trying to steal gas with the hose, you know, sucked it down his throat, you know, or the guy that lit a match to see if the bucket was full or not, you know, and ba-boom, he got what he deserved. Deeds are done in darkness and aren't done in light. And the Bible pictures that as sin is a time of darkness for men. Darkness was over Israel when the light of the Lord came. Herod, who was called the king of the Jews, was a pagan and sought to kill the Christ when he found out that he was born. Darkness of sin ruled over man. Paul and Barnabas are now in danger of their lives. And Paul is stoned and left for dead outside the city as the result of this taking place by a mob who just moments before that wanted to make sacrifice to him and worship him. I've heard a preacher preach on this passage of Scripture before about the church. He said, you preachers better be careful. Some of them people love you. And they tell everybody how wonderful you are, and they pat you on the back, and they come out and tell you how good you can preach and all that sort of thing. He said, about a year from now, they might lead a mob to hang you or run you out of town, you know. That's happened many a time. Maybe some needed it, but the message of Christ is the light of the world. We light lights on a Christmas tree or put them on our houses or we see them out in the world today. Let us be reminded they ought to point to the celebration of Christ who is the light of the world. And you and I have a responsibility. Those who are believers in Him are lesser lights. Our light is to reflect His light to the world around us that they might see Christ. Sadly, in our day, some worship the creation more than the Creator. Some are caught up in the merchant's version of the gift-giving and the presents, and they go into deep debt for extravagance at Christmas time. Somebody said, we use money we don't have to buy things we don't need to give to people we don't like. When what the celebration is really all about is Christ. The Bible's the source of truth. The Old Testament prophecies all pointed to Christ being born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And when the fullness of time was come, He came. And that's not the end of the story. The gospel message is that He lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to Calvary's cross and willingly laid down His life as a sacrifice for you and for me, that we might have everlasting life. May the lights of the trees and windows remind us of the light of the world and our need to be shining lights of the gospel message. May we recognize there are many still in darkness in our world today, and they need someone to show them the way with the light to come to the truth of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Recognize, like the disciples, we may face some rejection from men. We may be turned away by some. And our focus must stay not on discouragement for that, but on the fact that that may turn us to someone else who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful to do that in this Christmas season. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We invite you to come and do business with the Lord here this morning. If you need to be saved, or if you are saved and you need to get baptized, join the church, or you need to submit for church membership by letter, or you need to pray about something in your life or get some counsel, we'd be glad to help you with that. That's what the invitation time is all about. We're inviting you to come and be helped from God. It is not us that has the power, but God has the power to help you. The message has the power to help you, and God can do that. Father, we ask you blessings on this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.